Hello and welcome to ArcSieve LLM Daily EN. This is the show where we look at a new ArcSieve paper every day and try to keep up with the ridiculous speed of AI innovation, but in a way that stays practical. Today we're going to dig into a paper and see what it actually changes for people building or using AI. The paper we're looking at today is PersoPilot, an adaptive AI copilot for transparent contextualized persona classification and personalized response generation. Basically, it detects a user's or situation's persona from context, it generates a response tailored to that persona, and it tells you why it made those choices. Timely, because everyone wants assistants that feel personal, but with transparency and control, so you can trust and govern them. Here's how we'll do it. Mark will look at it from the field, real-world usage. Jamie will look at the AI and technical side. Concretely, what's the use of what they're proposing, and what need does it meet today? Mark, let's start with what need you're actually seeing on the ground.
In real life, teams struggle with misaligned assistant personas. One minute the bot is super formal, the next it's cracking jokes. So people end up rewriting replies. Brand voice goes out the window, and when a manager asks, "Why did it answer like that?" there's no explainable reason. Support agents overprompt to force tone. Sales teams keep custom snippets in Notion to paste manually, and compliance gets nervous because we can't audit how the style was chosen. The need is consistency and a clear, visible why, so folks can accept, tweak, or override the persona instead of guessing.
So if I sum that up, today's assistants often guess the vibe and make extra work. Teams want a steady voice and a short note saying, "Here's the persona I detected and why," so they can trust it or fix it. Jamie, from the AI side, why is this kind of approach showing up now?
A few things clicked at once. First, larger context windows and better retrieval let models read conversation history and metadata to infer persona cues reliably. Second, we've got lightweight classifiers and preference-tuned models that can condition generation on a target persona without heavy fine-tuning each time. Third, enterprises are demanding auditability. So we see architectures that not only pick a tone, but provide transparent evidence. Snippets from the chat or profile signals that justify the choice. And finally, latency and cost have come down enough that you can run persona detection every turn or cache it between turns, making real-time, explainable personalization feasible. At a high level, PersoPilot proposes a three-part copilot that sits inside a conversation pipeline. First, it runs contextualized persona classification, not just who is this user, but what persona are they exhibiting right now, given the last few turns and metadata. Second, it conditions the LLM's response on that target persona, tone, structure, level of detail, so the output matches the detected vibe and brand style. Third, it surfaces transparent explanations, short, traceable reasons and evidence snippets that explain why it chose that persona and how that affected phrasing. You can plug this into a virtual assistant, a CRM reply helper, or an in-app chat widget. Compared to older approaches that used a static system prompt or a separate classifier with no feedback loop, this is adaptive. It updates as the conversation evolves and exposes the why so humans can inspect and override. It also distinguishes between persona classification from context versus profile retrieval from a CRM. It can use both but keeps them separate to avoid hard-coding stereotypes. The transparency layer is key. It cites specific turns or signals rather than just saying, "I felt the user was angry."
So basically, it's an assistant that not only picks a tone in real time, but also shows its work. Why it picked that tone, and which parts of the conversation led there. That plugs into your existing chat or CRM helpers instead of replacing them. Mark, what would that actually change for someone using it day to day?
In practice, onboarding becomes more intentional. You define a small approved persona taxonomy, say frustrated, formal, casual, expert, newcomer, with brand-safe style guidelines. You seed it with a few dozen labeled examples per persona from past chats. In the UI, every suggested reply comes with a small "Why this style" chip. Click it, and you see the detected persona plus the cues it used, like quotes from the last turn or account tier. The big change is fewer manual rewrites. Agents stop fiddling with tone prompts because the reply comes pre-shaped. And when they do tweak it, their correction feeds back as a labeled example, so next time the classifier is more accurate. Handovers are faster too. If a conversation escalates, the next agent sees the current persona and rationale immediately.
Let's make it concrete. Mark, walk us through a simple support scenario, clicks and screens included.
Sure. Use case one, customer support inbox. An agent opens a ticket, the right panel shows detected persona, frustrated, confidence 0.82. With evidence, the user wrote, I've asked 3 times already, and used all caps in a phrase. The assistant proposes 2 replies, 1, apologetic plus step-by-step, and 2, apologetic fast-track. Each has tone markers like, start with apology, acknowledge delay, offer immediate workaround. The agent clicks option 2, tweaks 1 sentence, hits send. If the agent thinks the persona is wrong, there's a drop-down to switch it to formal or casual, which instantly regenerates the reply and logs the correction as feedback. The Why This Style chip expands to show the cues and a link to brand guidelines that were applied.
So the tool detects frustrated, shows the evidence, suggests 2 brand-safe replies, and lets the agent flip persona if it misread the situation, all without prompt hacking. Jamie, technically, what enables that real-time adaptation and those transparent signals?
Under the hood, you typically run a fast persona classifier before generation. That can be a distilled LLM head or a compact transformer that looks at the last N turns. Simple behavioral features like sentiment, punctuation intensity, response latency, plus metadata such as account tier. It outputs a persona distribution and confidence. We cache that state for the session and update it only if confidence swings past a threshold to avoid flapping. For transparency, we keep token-level attributions or retrieve text spans that drove the decision, e.g. highlight, I've asked 3 times already, and we log which brand rules were activated. The generator then conditions on the selected persona via structured prompts or control tokens. For performance, the classifier can be sub-100 milliseconds on CPU, while the generator streams the reply so agents see the first tokens quickly. We also separate profile retrieval, VIP, healthcare customer, from behavioral persona to reduce bias. Both inform tone, but the transparency panel makes that distinction explicit.
That brings up data. Jamie, how do you label personas in the first place without drifting into stereotypes?
You start with a behavior-focused schema and clear labeling guidelines. Label observable communication style and intent, not demographics. Use multi-label where needed. Frustrated plus expert can coexist. For bootstrapping, you can weekly label from emojis, certain phrases, or CSAT comments, then have human reviewers correct a small stratified sample for quality. During training, enforce constraints, drop demographic fields, audit feature importances, and run fairness checks so performance is consistent across customer segments. In generation, keep guardrails in prompts. No demographic inferences, ground tone choices in conversation evidence. The transparency layer also helps. If a justification ever references protected attributes, that's a red flag you can catch in QA or automated linting.
Great. Let's go one level up. Mark, describe an advanced setup across channels, email, chat, maybe in-app, with privacy controls and human-in-the-loop corrections feeding back into the system.
Use case 2, multi-channel personalization. A salesperson works across email and website chat. The system maintains a per-session persona that can follow within a channel but doesn't jump between channels without consent. In email, the plugin shows target persona, formal plus expert, with evidence from previous threads. In chat, it might shift to casual newcomer if a different stakeholder joins. Privacy controls are front and center, a toggle that says use past channel signals for this response, on-off, with a link to data retention policy. When the rep disagrees, they click correct persona, pick expert, add a short note, and hit apply / regenerate. That correction is logged, de-identified, and enters a review queue. Approved corrections update the few shot examples for the classifier and the style rules. Over time, we see fewer persona flips and faster drafting across channels, but each channel still respects separate consent and retention settings.
So it adapts per channel, honors consent, and learns from corrections without leaking context where it shouldn't. Jamie, how fast can it react when a persona shifts mid-conversation? And where do you actually run these components? On-device or server-side?
Speed-wise, you can reclassify every turn. A lightweight classifier adds 50 to 150 milliseconds. We update if the confidence delta exceeds a threshold or if explicit user language suggests a shift, e.g., sorry for the earlier tone. For deployment, a common split is classifier at the edge and generator on the server. On mobile, an on-device classifier preserves privacy and reduces round trips. The server LLM then uses a signed persona token from the device, so the server never sees raw justifications unless allowed. For cost, you cache persona state per thread, batch classify when multiple chats update at once, and stream generation, so perceived latency stays low. Continuous adaptation can be incremental. Store corrections and retrain the classifier nightly, or use a small online learning step with guardrails to prevent catastrophic drift.
Last piece on UX. What does transparency look like so users aren't overwhelmed? Mark, how do you show why this reply without cluttering the screen?
Keep it lightweight by default. The chip just says, why this style? Hover shows a one-liner. Detected, frustrated, based on, I've asked three times already. Applied, apologize first, propose fix. Clicking expands a side panel with three sections. 1, detected persona with confidence and alternative candidates. 2, evidence highlights from the transcript and any non-sensitive metadata used. 3, style rules applied with a toggle to try another persona. Agents can pin the panel during training, then collapse it once they trust the system. For auditing, there's a log view where leads can filter by persona flips or low-confidence cases to spot drift or bias.
Perfect. We've got the architecture, the day-to-day workflow, and two clear use cases. Next, we'll talk about what's required under the hood, limits called out by the authors, and the results they report.
Under the hood, the authors assume you have some labeled data for persona classification, even a modest set per persona to start, ideally drawn from your own domain. They rely on rich conversational context. Multi-turn history and a bit of metadata make detection more reliable. One-liners are harder. On models, you're looking at a small, fast classifier plus a larger generator. The classifier runs every turn or on threshold changes, and the generator conditions on its output. They also assume behavior is relatively stable. If your user base's tone shifts or you enter a new market, accuracy can drop until you retrain. Limitations. Bias is a real risk if you conflate profile with behavior. Ambiguous cases remain tricky, and doing this in real time adds latency and cost you have to budget for. Long-term, cross-session personalization isn't fully solved here either. This is more session-focused. And evaluation is messy. Automatic metrics help, but human judgments on tone appropriateness matter. For future work, they point to better continual learning, stronger debiasing, on-device or privacy-preserving variants, and letting users control how much transparency they see or override personas explicitly.
Put simply, you'll need labeled examples, enough context per chat, and some compute headroom. Expect it to work best in conversations with a bit of history, and plan for monitoring because behavior drifts. Also, this isn't free. You're adding a classifier and a smarter generator to each turn. Mark, what does the practical setup look like to roll this out without breaking workflows or policies?
Practically, I start small. Pick one channel, say support chat, and one region. Define 4-6 personas with clear behavior-only definitions and do a labeling sprint on past transcripts with 2 reviewers per sample. Wire the UI so every suggestion shows why this style and add a one-click correct persona control. Run it as an opt-in beta with a short training for agents, plus a QA queue where leads review low confidence or flipped cases. Legal and security will want explicit consent language, channel scoped retention, and a documented rule that we never infer demographics. For success metrics, track percent of replies edited, time to first draft, CSAT deltas, escalation rate, and how often agents flip personas. Expect a weekly calibration rhythm, refresh few shots, review drift, and update guardrails. And set cost guardrails, cap per thread tokens, cache persona state, and stream replies so the UX stays snappy.
On results, the paper reports evaluations on curated chat logs and some synthetic data where personas are annotated. They measure persona classification with accuracy in F1, generation quality with human preference or Likert-style tone appropriateness ratings, and transparency with faithfulness checks, whether the cited evidence actually appears in the transcript. They also note latency for the classifier and generation, plus rough cost estimates. Compared to baselines like static persona prompts or a non-adaptive classifier, the Copilot shows consistent improvements across classification and human preference for responses, with more faithful justifications. Most experiments are in controlled settings, clean datasets, fixed taxonomies, so external validity needs field testing.
Translated, in the lab, this setup made tone choices more accurate and the replies more preferred by human judges, and the Y notes actually pointed to the right bits of the conversation. Treat that as a strong signal, not a guarantee. Mark, in a live deployment, what should teams realistically expect?
First month, expect modest but noticeable wins. Fewer manual tone fixes and faster first drafts, but not magic. Numbers usually dip during week one as folks learn the UI, then improve as your feedback loop fills in. CSAT improvement, if any, takes time and clear ABs. You'll spend ops time on curation and guardrails. Totally worth it, but it's a cost. Biggest risks I watch? Over-automation. Lock the persona and you miss a human cue. And drift? A new product launch changes everyone's tone. Keep a neutral fallback persona, make overrides easy, and review low-confidence cases. The teams that benefit most are support, outbound sales, and content ops. Anywhere tone and structure are repeatable but need situational sensitivity, assuming you've got decent labeled data and governance in place.
Bottom line, PersoPilot gives you a way to detect the conversation's vibe, tailor the reply, and show your work, which shortens edits and builds trust as long as you label well, monitor drift, and keep humans in the loop. To finish, a quick reminder. The English version of the podcast is available via the RSS feed on mblotti.org/iadaily/en and also on Spotify. Search for ArcSieve LLM Daily EN. See you tomorrow for more AI news. Have a great day.